Okay, boys. Today's daf is daf Chof Hey. We're starting at the very, very top of the Omid, where the Gemara brings a pasuk in Yehoshua. How did we get into this sugya about Yehoshua? So Rashi reminds us that yesterday the Gemara told us a tremendous chidush that the porois that were carrying back the oroin to Klal Yisrael from the Plishtim, after having been away for a while, those porois were miraculous porois. Miraculous in the sense that they walked the entire distance without anybody leading them. But even more miraculous, says the Gemara, they were singing the entire time. How do we know it says that they were singing? Because the pasuk says, Vayisharna haporois. Boshepshat Vayisharna means that they walked in a straight line, like Yosha. They didn't detour to the right and to the left. But the Gemara darshan Vayisharna from a lashon of Shira. Shelley is asking a question. What's with Shelley? What does Shelley want? Okay, Vaisalisht. Anybody? Oh, Shelley. What is the conference call number? I'm just going to send Shelley the conference call. 1 second. We have to send him an email because he doesn't hear it.
I can do that.
You can do that?
Okay. I can text him.
Okay, please text him.
I'll text him.
Very good. So we'll continue in the meantime. So the Gemara said, what Shira did the Poroi sing? So we, as you recall, we had in the Gemara five or six different deois as to what they sang. Most of the deois in the Gemara were based on Kapitlach Tillim. Others came up with brand new Shirois. But the reason why we're getting into new Gemara is because you see about 10 lines from the bottom of Chof Dalid Amid Beis, he had Rabbi Lozer said that the Shira was the Kapitel Tilim Hashem Moloch Yirguzu Amim. Well, Rabbi Shmuel Mar Nachmeini said it's Hashem Moloch Geyus Lovish. So we had a machloikus Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeini. So Rashi here on top, on Chof Hey Amar Aleph, says that's why we're bringing a totally unrelated pasuk, because the Gemara in another few lines is going to bring us a machloikus between Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeini. So what does it say in the pasuk? This is a very famous pasuk dealing with a tremendous ness that happened in the times of Yeshua ben Nun. Yeshua ben Nun, as they were in Eretz Yisrael, were fighting a tremendous melchama, and it was the height of the melchama, the height of the battle, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu made agrois a ness. And what was that ness? That the Shemesh stood still and did not continue to go in a downwards fashion towards sunset for a while. So that day, the sun was much, much longer than your typical day. A typical day, you have 12 hours of sun, from 6 o'clock in the morning until 6 o'clock sunset. And here, it was much, much more. If you're wondering how much more, we're going to have a machloikis in the Gemara shortly. So what does it say in the pasuk? V'yidoim ha-shemesh. The word v'yidoim normally means to be quiet. And explains Rashi, what does it mean that the shemesh was quiet? Because the Shemesh, V'yareach, and everything else that was created by the Rebbeinu Shloim say Shira every single day. For those of you that are not familiar, there are special pamphlets that have the Seder HaShira. Many women say it every day, perhaps some men as well. So the Shemesh would go and say Shira every day. However, the Shemesh at this point, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the day to be much longer, when the Shemesh stopped, it stops saying Shira. That's how Rashi learns in the second line. Vayidoim zot Rashi shosak miloy mashira. Shebechol eis lechtoi, as long as it's traveling the Shemesh every day, and it's shoysik, it's not quiet. However, when it stops, it's shoysik, and we'll see shortly how long the Shemesh stopped. V'yareach omad, and the yareach... So we continue on the Gemara, the top line. Vayidoim ha-shemesh, the Shemesh was quiet, it stopped. The Yireach Omad, and the Yireach also stood. We're not going to talk so much about the Yireach. Apparently what the Gemara means is that the Yireach did not show up at 6 o'clock at night, normally at the time of Tzeisak HaKovim, but rather it waited until the Shemesh did its thing during the day. Ad Yikoim, the word Yikoim is from Lashon of Nikoma. Ad Yikoim Goy Oivav, until Yeshua was able to go and take Nikoma from its enemies. Halihiksuv al Sefer HaYosher, and this whole story already is written in the Sefer HaYosher. So, Freik Dimara, My Sefer Yosha. What do you mean this is already written in the Sefer Yosha? What's for a Sefer Yosha? Sefer Avram Yitzhak V'Yakov. This is referring to Seder Breishis. In other words, Sefer Breishis. Why is Sefer Breishis called the Sefer HaYoshar? Because it features all of the history of Avram Yitzhak V'Yakov, Shenikru Yisharim. Avram Yitzhak V'Yakov are called Yisharim. How do I know? Shenemar. The pasuk that we learned yesterday in the Kriya. Tomois Nafshi, Mois Yisharim, Ushi Achrisi Kamoyu. So this was recited by Bilam, and his Tomis Nafshi Mois Yisharim means he wanted to pass away similar to the Ovis Lakdoshim. So Yisharim is referring to the Ovis. Okay, so now we know Sefer Yosha means Bereishis. The question is, where does it say anywhere in Bereishis that Yeshua ben Nun is going to be Zoche to such Hatzlacha that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to keep the Shemesh standing and continuing to shine for a long period of time? Says the Pasuk, what is this referring to? So if you look at the Torah Ora Shalem, this is referring to a brief debate that Yaakov Avinu had with Yosef HaTzadik. The Yosef brought his two children, Menashe and Ephraim, to be blessed. And then we know it says in the Pasuk that Yaakov Avinu sikeles yodov, and he put his hand on the right hand on Ephraim instead of on Menashe, and he, in turn, Yosef HaTzadik was all concerned, so said Yaakov to Yosef, don't be concerned. Yadati bini yadati, I know that Menashe is older. Kamhu yeliam, he's also going to be a choshev folk. Kamhu yigdal, however, ulam ochiva kotoin, meaning Ephraim, yigdal mimanu, he's still going to be greater. That means about his offspring, his descendants. Will be news among all the nations of the world. Everybody in the world is going to hear about his Zaroi, the Eniklach. And who was an Enikl of Ephraim? None other than Yeshua ben Nun. So, Dozot Yetzimora, Emesa Yemaloi Hagoyim, Bishosha Omdali Chamal Yeshua. So, that's what he means, that this was already spoken about in the Sefer HaYoshar, meaning in Sefer Bereishis. So far, we haven't really gotten into the guts of why we brought this Gemara. Because what we brought the Gemara was to remind us that there's another machlok between Reb Lozer and Reb Shua Bar Nachmeni, and neither of those names have been mentioned. But now that we have the background, now we're going to get into it. V'yamod HaShemesh b'chatzi ha-shemoyim v'le'otz lovoi ki-yoyim tomen. The Yamar Shemesh means that the Shemesh stopped the Chatziah Shemoyim, noontime. Noontime, usually it would start moving now in a descending pattern. No. It stood there, the Chatziah Shemoyim. V'loi Otz. Otz means it does not quicken. It did not hurry Lovoi to go and set Kiyoim Tomim for a full day. So now what does that mean in practical terms? The Kama. So we're going to first have a three-way Machloikis, Reb Shua ben Levi, Reb Lozer and Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmeni. And remember, Rashi said that the reason why we brought this Gemara is because we had yesterday Reb Lozer and Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmeni. So there's going to be a three-way machlekes, and then there's going to be an ikadi amri, the same three mandi amrim, Reb Shmuel Ben Levi, Reb Lozer, Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmeni. However, as we'll see from the ikadi amri, each one of them is going to, in fact, say a longer period of time. The first three, and again the second three, the machloikis is, how long was that day based on the fact that Hashem made that tremendous miracle, which was heard over the entire world? Rashi explains that normally if you happen to have a war, let's say there's a war going on now between Russia and Ukraine, if it wouldn't be printed and published in the newspapers, or if it wouldn't go on the internet or wherever, I wouldn't know and you wouldn't know what's going on in Ukraine or in Russia. However, if the sun stops, it stops everywhere in the world. In Australia and the North Pole and the South Pole and America and Europe, everywhere. So that's Vizar Yeh Maloy HaGoyim. Everybody knows about this tremendousness that occurred. Okay, so let's now know, Tachlis, how long was the Amidas HaChama in the times of Yeshua? The Kama. Umra Bishu Malevi Esrim Bar Bo Ashoi. Altogether, that day was 24 hours long. In other words, normal day. When I say day, forget about the night. Normal day is 12 hours, 6 to 6. At that time, it was 24 hours. What's the cheshbon? Ozel shis, first the shemesh went up 6 hours from 6 o'clock till 12 o'clock. Now it's midday. The kamshis, and now it stopped. Because that's what we said in the pasuk. V'yamad ha-shemesh v'chatzi ha-shemoy. After half a day, it stopped. How long did it stop for? For 6 hours. After that 6 hours was over, Ozel shis, again it traveled another 6 hours, like it normally would do, from 12 until 6 o'clock. However, before it set at 6 o'clock, become shis. In other words, start again. Ozel shis, it traveled from 6 to 12, normal, become shis, and then it stopped. And now again it traveled, Ozel shis, from 12 to 6, and become shis, and again it stopped for 6 hours. So therefore, instead of being a 12-hour day, kula milza, how long was it? Yoim tomim, it was 24. Zah moichel. Ozel shis, it went 6 hours, become shis, and it stopped for 6 hours. How much is 6 and 6?
12.
Ozel shis, it traveled another 6 hours, become shis, and again, it waited another 6 hours. So adding 12 plus 12 is?
24.
Kula milza ki yoim tomim. So go back to the pasuk. For yamad ha-shemesh kebchatzi ha-shemoyim, it taka stopped. Midday, and it didn't hurry to set at night for a full 24-hour day. That's the 24 hours. Reb Loza Omar. Reb Loza says, I respectfully disagree. In fact, it was longer. 36 hours. How? We start again. Ozel shis, from 6 to 12, at 6 hours. The Komtracer, and then it waited 12 hours. When I say waited, it means it didn't set. It didn't move. Stayed in place for 12 hours. So how much is 6 plus 12? You get to 18. Then Ozel Shis, then it started from 12 down to 6. It started moving again for another 6 hours. 6 plus 18 gets us to 24. They come Tracer, and again it waited another 12 hours. 24 and 12. How much is that? Is 36. Zokti Mor Amidosoi Kiyoim Tamim. Not that the entire flow of the sun from beginning to end was 24, but rather the waiting period that it waited. In the morning at 12 o'clock, midday, it waited for 12 hours, right? Come Tracer. And then by sunset again, waited for 12 hours. The Amida, the waiting period, that it didn't move, it didn't set, 24 hours altogether. Midosi ki yom tam. Veshmul manachmeni omar arboi mushmoin, it was really 48 hours. How do you get 48 hours? Remember, we're saying 48 means the entire day from beginning to end, from 6 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock at night, instead of being 12 hours, it was 48 hours. How do you have that? Ozel shis, again, 6 o'clock in the morning, it went its normal pattern, 6 hours, it's now midday, it's now chatzos, it's noon. The Komtracer, and at this point, it waited for 12 hours, like the previous Mandiyam. Ozel shis, and now again it waited, now again it went from 12 to 6, again took 6 hours. Vikom esmabo, and now at this time, instead of just waiting for sunset for 12 hours, it waited for 24 hours. Shenema, and that's now the posik. V'le'otzlovoi kiyom tamim. The otzlovoi, the hurrying to finish off and set at the end of the day, that was kiyom tamim. That was a full 24 hours. Ah, the chlal demi kor is the chasimin at the first part of the day when it was waiting at chatzi hashemoyim noontime. That wasn't kiyoyim tamim, lav kiyoyim tamim hava. Rather, how much it was? It was 12 hours. The Gemara doesn't say what the basis of the 12. Presumably, the basis was that since a regular day is 6 plus 6, 12 hours altogether, so the ness in the morning was b'chatzi hashemoyim. Another 12 hours. But after that, before sunset, you have to add to that yet another 24 hours. So if you add all of that together, start again, first wide line of Shmuel Nachmeni, Ozel Shis is 6 in the morning, 6 to 12. Come Tracer, it waited 12. 6 plus 12 is 18. Again, from 12 to 6, another 6 hours is 24. Come Esen Va'arba, it waited another 24. Therefore, you have together 48-hour day. Before you even get to night, 48-hour day from 6 to 6. So this was the three shittas. One second. Notice we just had Reb Loza and Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, and that's why we brought the Gemara in the first place, because we had yesterday Reb Loza and Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmeni. Somebody has a question.
Yeah, it's really a statement, although I don't want to belittle the amazing phenomenon that took place. But there is a thing called a supernova. And a supernova could have this type of effect. It keeps exuding energy through creation of new stars and explosions.
Okay.
And there was one, I think, in the 1600s. It's not too common that has this ongoing effect of daylight.
So let me ask you a question: who creates a supernova?
Sure.
Scientists down below, or it's a Kodesh Baruch Hu?
No, it's the death of the star.
Okay, so who created this? Who created the sun and the moon and the stars? And
Of course.
Okay, so
I knew who the star was here.
Okay, the star here was Yeshua Ben Nun. Not Rebbe Yeshua Ben Nun. Okay, so bottom line is, you're right, it could happen at other times too, but this time is recorded in Tanakh with Yeshua Ben Nun. We'll see in the Gemara shortly in another few lines that in fact it happened at least two other times in history.
By
Moshe Rabbeinu. And who else?
Bilam was afraid.
Yes. And who else besides Moshe Rabbeinu? And also Nak. Demon Ben Gurion. I mean, Mar is going to bring that shortly. And then Shelley, when he writes.
Pay back his five.
Exactly. So, Mirat Hashem, right. When Shelley is going to write his Pirush on the Shas, you'll add, and also in year 1600, there was also something known as supernova, and you'll explain the Floyd Saboyre that happened in more recent generations.
Well.
Anyways, we have three way machlek.
Did you say Moshe?
Nachmul? Did I say Moshe?
Moshe?
Yes, I said Moshe. I'm going to see that in another 7-8 lines. We're going to get to that momentarily. Moshe. Don't be too naive, Mr. Yetchum. We're going to get to it. Ikri Amri, third wide line. Another pshat. The Tosefta Pligi. This Tosefta doesn't mean like a Mishnah, a Brice, and a Tosefta. Tosefta, says Rashi, means we have to be Mosif on all three. We start Reb Shulben Levi, Reb Luzer, and Reb Shulben Achmeni. How much do we have altogether? We started with 24, and then we went to 36, and we got to 48. Rabbi Yisai, it's going to be longer now. The Tosefta Pligi, each one is going to be Moisif on the previous numbers. Rabbi Shuv and Levi, Omar, Esam Barba. We start off also Esam Barba. But listen, how do we have Esam Barba according to the first Lashon? It was 6-6, 6-6, right? Normally 6 hours in the morning, stopped for 6 hours, 6 hours in the afternoon, 6 at night, 4 times 6 is 24. Oh, no. Esmar Ba'a, Ozil, it traveled for an additional 24. Well, what do you mean? Sorry. Esm Ba'a, period. Ozil Shis, once again, we started from 6 till 12, 6 hours. The Kom Tresar, and it waited there at noontime for 12 hours. We say wait, that means that the sun did not start to descend. It stayed there in the middle of the horizon, in the middle of the sky, and it was very hot. Midday. So Ozel Shis become Tracer. Again, Ozel Shis, now after that 12-hour period, it went from 12 down to 6, and again become Tracer. Oh, so how much do we have altogether? Altogether we have 6 plus 12 is 18. 6 plus 12 is 18, is 36.
Yeah.
So Reb Shimon Levi, although he says Esrim Abo, it really means 36. So how do you get to Esrim Abo? Amidasa Kiyoim Tamim. That the Shemesh stood in place and didn't move, 12 hours, noontime, 12 hours before Shkia, 12 plus 12, is Kiyayim Tamim, is the 24. So that's the Tosefet. Rabbi Shimon Levi, the first time said 24, he also said 24. But this 24 is in addition to the regular 6 plus 6. It's 36 altogether. And you'll see the same thing again. Rabbi Lazo Amai. Shloishim Vishesh. Ozel Shis, it went 6 in the morning. The Kom Tresin stopped midday, 12 hours. So if we have 6 plus 12 is 18. Ozel Shis, it went and traveled again 6 hours. Vekom Esrim V'arba'a. Ooh, now it didn't go for 12 hours, it went for 24 hours. Why for 24 hours? Like we said before, because the Pasuk says at the second part of the Pasuk, V'le'otz lovei kiyoyim tamim, V'le'otz me did not hurry, lovei to set for a full day. So for a full day means 24 hours.
Beautiful.
So therefore, how do we have it all together now? Since it was Ozel Shis, 6 in the morning, come Tracer, that 6 plus 12 is 18. Ozel Shis, it went another 6 hours, is 24. And then it waited for another 24, 48. Is really 48. Although he says 36, because he's really talking about the amount of time of the waiting period. The 12 at noontime, 24 evening, 12 plus 24 is 36. So therefore, it's a little bit misleading, because Reb Blaza Ulta said the first time 36. But the first time he said 36 was 36 the entire day, from 6 to 6. Now it's only talking about the additional time over and above your regular day. Your regular day is usually 12. There was an additional 24. So altogether it became 36. Reb Shmuel ben Nachmani Omar, Arboi Mushmoina. It's 48 hours. How do you get all 48? Also, Shisvik Kama Esrim V'Arboi. It traveled 6, and then it stood still 24 hours at noontime. Also, Shisvik, again, it went another 6. V'Kam Chav Dalin, another 24. How do you get 24 plus 24? The second 24 I know, because it said, V'Loi Ot Lovoi Ki Yoyim Tam, and it waited for a full day, but didn't say that by Chatzais. By noontime. So if you're makish midasa libi yasa, mabi yasa kiyem tamim, mabi midasa kiyem tamim. Since the two parts of the pasuk are together as one, so we make as asmichus a hekish, just like the second part, when the amida says beferish in the pasuk kiyem tamim, the first part it doesn't say how long it was, so we make a hekish that was also kiyem tamim, a full 24 hours. So therefore the additional time of that day was 48. Over and above the regular 12 hours, 6 and 6 in the afternoon. 60. So it's 60 altogether.
Wow.
So we have the same three Mandi Amrim, but the second, as you saw, the Ikadi Amri, each one is Moisif more, and they're not talking about the collective time that it was sunny, but the additional time that it was sunny because of this Nes Nigla of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. With this, we've concluded now Reb Lozer and Shmuel Manachmeini, and that's how we got into the Sugi in the first place. However, now the Gemara adds a Tosefes, if you will, a footnote. Tana, Kishem She'om D'Licham Yeshua, Kach Om D'Licham Moshe, by Moshe Rabbeinu. Really? Where does it say that in the Torah? We'll see in a moment. As well as an Akdim in Ben Gurion. So let's go into this. So Timur, Yeshua Kroy. We just recited the Psukim, the Fadish, that the Chama and the Yereach, they stood still and they didn't move. Vayidoim Hashemesh, like we had in the top line. Vayidoim Hashemesh, and then we had Vayamoy Hashemesh Chatzi Hashemayim. That's correct. Nakdim Ben Gurion is Gemara. Now, I'm sure all of you remember that Gemara, but just for a quick chazara, we have this in the Sechzis Tanis. The Gemara said about Nakdim Ben Gurion, he had, in fact, how did he get this name Nakdim Ben Gurion? Nakdiman, because he caused the Shemesh to come up early. What does that mean? So Gemara says it was in times of the Oile Regel, thousands and thousands of people, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, were all coming to Yerushalayim for Aliyas Regel. They were going to bring the Oile Sra'iyah and the Sham Lechagiga, and there was a shortage of water that year. So Nakdim Ben Gurion went over to one of the Goyish ministers, who was very wealthy, and he said to him, I'd like to borrow some water. How much? Gemara says 12 mayonois. 12 wellsprings. A huge amount of water. And he says, okay, by when are you going to pay me? I'm going to pay you in 6 months from now. Okay, and in 6 months from now, tell me how much you're going to go and give me. And the Gemara says, some phenomenal amount. What was the big number? It was altogether 12 kikar kesef. 12 kikar. Huge amount. Okay, so what happens? The maturity date comes, and it's now in the morning. Now, what was the reason why there was no water, a shortage of water? Because it didn't rain for a lengthy period of time. And therefore, Nakdim Ben Gurion figured in 6 months and now it's going to go and rain. By that time, I'll be able to give back all of the water. So the loan was not a loan of money. It was a loan of water. But if I don't pay the water back, then I have to go and pay as a, if you will, as its compensation, 12 kikar kesef. Anyway, the final day of maturity comes. It's morning. And the sun is blazing, there's not a rain cloud in sight. So this minister, the Odoin, comes to Nakdim Ben Gurion and says, okay, today's day of maturity, go and pay. He said, mister, I got a whole day, what are you bugging me for? Okay, let's wait. So 12 o'clock, now it's midday, the sun is shining as ever. No, when are you going to pay? I got a whole day. Comes back at 2 o'clock, it's 4 o'clock, 6 o'clock, a whole day. It's not sunset yet, I still have time. Goes like Nakdim Ben Gurion, and he goes to Rabbeinu Shalom and starts crying, and he says, Rabbeinu Shalom, you know why I did this deal. I didn't do it for me. I did it for you. I did it for Klal Yisrael that needed the Oile Regel. Yeah. And therefore he said, in the Gemara, he uses the expression, Rabbeinu Shalom, Golev Yadu Lefanecha Shalei Lechvoidi Asisi, After this very heartfelt tefillah of Nachim ben Gurion, it started geesing, it started marbling. It was reminiscent of the marble in the times of Noach. It was pouring. Finally, this Odin comes back to Nachim ben Gurion. Nachim ben Gurion says, now you owe me money, because I can't go and pay you ribbis. So I gave you already 12 mayones, but they're twice, they're 20 mayones, give me back. Said the Odin back to Nachim ben Gurion, I see obviously the reason why it rained for the first time in 6 months is because you're a holy Jew, it's for the Jewish people. No question. A nice nigla, no question. However, guess what time it is now? He takes out his watch. It's already 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. It's already after Ben Tam's man. And he says, it's now on my time, not in your time. You were supposed to pay yesterday. Now it's already the next day. So you still owe me the money. Nachim ben Gurion said, wait one moment. Goes back. Again, his mespal in the Beis Mikdash. He opens up and he says, Rabbi Nishalaylam, look what this guy is saying. Show him. Rabbi Nishalaylam, the Lashon HaGemara is, show that you have the beloved people in your oilam. In other words, Klal Yisrael. Miyad nispazru anonim v'zorach Hashemesh. Even though it was already nightfall, everybody's watch, it said it was already 7, 8 o'clock. And according to all, even the Mayz Manim, which is goes viral, which showed that according to Rabbeinu Tam, 6:30, 7 o'clock was already night. It's already beyond that. It became daylight again. Now the Nachim ben Gurion says, oh, then I don't owe you a penny. Anyway, so we see that Nachim ben Gurion also the Omda Hachama Bishvilei. That's the Gemara. Now the Moshe ben Aaron, where does it say in the Torah about Moshe? The Gemara, Os Asyo Ochel Ochel. I have here Exeir Shava of Ochel Ochel. Ksiv Hocha. It says by Moshe Rabbeinu, Ochel Teis Pachtecha. If you have Ois Dalid, Hayoy Mazeh, Ochel teis pachtecha v'yirosch al pneo amim tachas kol ha-shamoyim, under the entire world. Ash yishmun shemacha v'rog v'chol v'ypanecha. That's a pasuk, of course, in the beginning of Sefer Dvarim. Ochel teis pachtecha. Uksiv also by Yeshua, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the nes of v'yidoy ma-shemesh v'yamar ha-shemesh, it says, ochel gadlecha, or maybe gadlecha. B'yishtei dot in the pasuk.
Gadelcha.
Gadelcha. Shkoyach. Ochel gadelcha. So just like that, Ochel Gadelcha is referring to the Vayamar Hashemesh, here the Ochel Teis Pachter is referring to the Amidas Hashemesh. So that's one drasha. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Asya Teis Teis, not Ochel. Ochel Teis Teis. Ksiv Hocha Ochel Teis Pachter. Uksiv Yeshua Biyoim Teis Hashem Esu Amoiri. So you learn Teis Teis, just like by Yeshua Vayamar Hashemesh, the same thing by Moshe Rabbein. Now, who was the one that said this drasha? This was... First we had Reb Yochanan, we had Hochel Hochel, and then Reb Yochanan said, Taste, Taste. Now we have again Reb Shmuel Manachmeni, like we had before. What Reb Shmuel Manachmeni? Omer Migufi the Kroh Shambaslei. I don't need a Gzeir Shova Ochel Ochel. I don't need a Gzeir Shova of Taste, Taste. But rather, the same Pasuk that we were quoting before, the Ochel Taste Pachtecha. How does the Pasuk continue on in Ois Dalid? Ochel teis pachtuch of Yerosh kol pnei o'amim tachas kol ha-shem mo'im ha-shi yishmon shemach of rogz v'cholum mipenecha. Amos ay rogz v'cholum mipenecha throughout the entire world. Because when the chama stops, everybody takes notice. They say, hey, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon and the shemesh is still there smack above the horizon as if it was noontime. So this is the whole world. Here's about it for rogz v'cholum mipenecha. You're telling me now that the Mass of Yeshua was not the only time in history. We have at least one recorded case prior to that in times of Moshe. We have one recorded case after that, Nachim ben Gurion. But by the Mass of Yeshua, it says, there never ever was a similar day in the annals of history, not before and not after. So that destroys this whole Gemara that we said, Moshe and Nachim. What it means is that so many hours, remember we had all these six different Shitas, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, and Rabbi Lozer, and Rabbi Shmuel Manachmeni, and then Ikkari Amri again, and each one added another 6 hours, 12 hours, 24 hours, 36 hours, 48, we kept on adding. Oh, Dorset Nizai. It doesn't say by Moshe Rabbeinu how long it was. For all I know, it was for 2 hours. For all I know, it was 6 hours. I don't know how much time it was. But it wasn't as many hours as Yeshua. And same thing by Nachtim and Goyen. Nachtim and Goyen, the whole thing could have been for 10 minutes, a half an hour, whatever it was, for the time of the, to show the Odin that it was still daylight. And therefore, that was we didn't talk about this until now. But at the times of Yeshua ben Nun, not only did the sun stay in place, but tremendous hailstones, a tremendous borod occurred. Like it says in the past, as they were fleeing, before Bnei Yisrael, there in Moed Beis Choyron, Hashem hishlech aleihem avonim gedolos min hashamayim. Not just your simple borod, a little bit of hail. Stones, avonim gedolos min hashamayim, ad azeka, until the place azeka, for Yimusu, and they died. So what do I see from this? That besides the tremendousness of the Shemesh, also these huge avonim gedolos. That did not happen in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. That did not happen in the times of Yeshua ben Nun. And we can ask Shelley, but I assume it did not happen in the year 1600 either.
No, but the actual scientific validity to this, if someone's looking for it, is that and it can happen, you know, if God wants it, of course, if the normally the Earth rotates at 1,000 miles per hour, and about 24,000 circumference is around, so it's exactly 24. So if you 50% slowdown would create exactly what it says
36.
In our text.
Uh-huh. Okay. Shkoyev. Mm-hmm. Thank
and,
you.
And with these supernovas, what happens? You know, is there are earthquakes and there are hailstorms and everything else.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Okay. So you're saying 1600, there were hail.
Some people say there was.
Okay.
Okay. But I'm more concerned about way back when.
Oh, very good.
Because that's what, you know. And by the way, there is a... In many cultures, in the Far East, in the Middle East, and other places, there is an accounting of a elongated day.
Uh-huh.
So,
all right.
The world experienced it.
Beautiful. So let's continue on.
Not
now,
that you necessarily need proof, but it helps.
Very good.
Before we go weiter.
Yes.
Can I just say one more thing? And the reason I'm mentioning this is because the invalidation of the Bible this was the issue that was quoted more than anything else.
Uh-huh.
It couldn't be. You know, it's fiction.
Right. So you're validating
the
Haile Gitaida. Thank you. Yes, Brother Shai.
Okay. Was there a specific battle that Moshe was involved with? When did the sun stand still for Moshe? Was that in what context was that?
Yeah, you have to look in the Pesukim there in the beginning of Parshas Devarim. Okay.
Okay. Maybe people can go on mute. There's a little bit of banging back and forth if people could please mute themselves.
It could be from the hailstones from the 1600s that are still coming down, according to Shelley. They're still making a lot of noise. Okay. But please, if you could put yourselves on mute, or if you at least stop banging all the pages and everything, we go right there. Okay, Ksiv, Nocha Pusik. But Yoimer, this Pusik says again in Sefer HaYosher, right? We start at the top of the Yomid. That Vayida Mashemish was Ksuba Sefer Yosher, says Yimar Vayoyimil Lelamid Bnei Yehuda Keshes, Hine Ksuba Sefer Yosher. We're going to teach the Bnei Yehuda Keshes to be archers. Archers are to shoot arrows. Gentlemen, somebody's still making a lot of noise there in the background. Please, don't make so much noise. My Sefer Yosher, when we say for Yosher. So we already said before, Amr Bchir Bar Abba, Amr Bechonim, the Sefer from Yitzvah Yaakov, Shenikru Yishorim, Dechsev, Behu, Tom Mois Nafshi, Mois Yishorim, we had it yesterday in the Parsha, in Parsha's Bullock. Bilam says, Tom Mois Nafshi, Mois Yishorim, want to die like Avram Yitzvah Yaakov, like the Ovzik Kadosh. See, Achrisi, come on, I should be like that. Bechonim, he says, so where does this say about teaching Mene Yehuda Koshes in Bereshis? Says, Yehuda Ati Yeducha Chachi Yodcha Ba'oirefoyvecha. This is one of the brachos of Birchos Yaakov at the end of Vayichi. So what does it say over there? Yehudat Yeducha Chachi Yodcha, your hand is Ba'oirev Oyrev means the back of the neck of Oyrev. Ve'ezi u'mulchamah she'tzricha yad k'neged Oyrev. When do you ever have a mulchamah that you need the hand and back of the Oyrev? Have you oymezu keshes? So Rashi explains that Parshim Pshat, of course, in the Pasuk is that the pursuer, in this case Yehuda, is pursuing his oivim, and he's grabbing hold of the oirev of the back of the neck of the person, of the victims that he's pursuing. However, Rashi says that's not how the Gemara is darshaning now, but rather the Gemara is darshaning that you're putting your yad parallel to your oirev. And what means parallel to the oirev? So says Rashi. For those of you that are not archers and don't normally shoot arrows, but to make sure that your arrow hits the target, you take the arrow and you hold it by the bow next to your eye. So you look with your eye straight ahead, and then you have the arrow being shot parallel to the eye, and then hopefully it's going to hit the victim where the eye sees it, that's why you're doing it. So now the question is, what does that have to do with the back of the neck? Says Rashi, the back of the neck is parallel to the eyes in the front of the neck. The eyes in the front of the head and the back of the neck come out more or less parallel. So that's what we're saying, that Yehuda ati duchachacha, when you're going to pursue and fight your enemies, your hand is going to be parallel to the oirev, not the oirev of the avecha, but your own oirev, parallel to the back of your neck, next to your eyes. That you have to hold the bow and arrow in place next to the eyes so that it goes directly to hit the target, the victim. Okay, so that's the ride that it's breaches. But Reb Lezer, ze sefer Mishneh Torah. We're not talking about breaches, we're talking about Dvarim. When it says sefer hayoshar, it's referring to Dvarim. For my correlate sefer yoshar. Why does sefer yoshar? Dechsiv. Where is this pasuk? It's a pasuk in Parshas Veschanan, which of course is in Sefer Devarim. So it says Yashar, and therefore in Sefer Mishneh Torah we have a remez, a reference to the teaching keshes to the Bnei Yehuda. The Heicher Mizavu, Yodav Ravloi, the Ezem Mitzorav Tiyeh. Right? Where is that? See, this is all the way at the end of Dvarim. The Zois Habracha. We lain it on Simchas Torah. The Zois Liuda. Avayimar. Shema Hashem Go Yuda. Vamoy Tvi. Yodav Ravloi. Ve'ezem Yitzarav Tiyeh. So what is Yodav Ravloi? So Kimara. Ve'echemi Yodav Ravloi. Ve'ezem Mechama. Shetzricha Shtei Yodayim. Normally, if you have your regular Mechama, if you're Chas V'Sholem trying to kill someone with a pistol, with a sword, with a roimach, with a spear, you take one hand. When do you have to have two hands? Have you emzu keshes? Because by keshes, one has to hold the bow, the other has to hold in place the arrow. So you need two hands. Oh, you are the brother. Reb Shmuel ben Nachmeni Omar, Zesefer Shoyfzer. Now notice we had once again Reb Lozen and Reb Shmuel ben Nachmeni, just like we had in the previous Gemara. Once again, we have both of these mandiyamrim. Also note that one of the mandiyamrim is Reb Yochanan. That was, remember, you might ask my Sefer Yosha, the first view was Rabbi Yochanan, and then we got Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Shmuel ben Achmei. I'm only mentioning that because we're going to have all three yet again in another line. So Vosh Deit, Rabbi Shmuel ben Achmei, Yom Zeh, Sefer Shoiftim. It's not talking about the Chumash, the Chamish, the Chumash, the Torah, it's talking about Sefer Shoftim. From my call, the Sefer Yosha, Dichsiv, Biyom Mahein, Ein Melech B'Yisrael, Isha Yosha B'Ein of Yaseh. Things pre-Dovin HaMelech, pre-Shol HaMelech, things were kind of hefker. Ishi Yosha Bein of Yasa. So that's why it's called Sefer Yosha. Ve'echer Amiza, where is it talking about the Keshes, teaching a Keshes to Bnei Yehuda? It says the Basil Mandas, Doirais Bnei Yisrael, Lelamda Mulchama. We're going to teach them how to go and conduct warfare. Ve'ezel Mulchama Shetzricha Limud. What do you have to go and teach for? You go and give every soldier, you go and give him a spear, or you give him a cherub, and you see, when you see the enemy, go and shoot away, hit away. Wustaf Wustadigan Salimud. Oh, to be able to go and be an archer, to go and shoot the arrow properly, of Dim Dafazan Amaifin. So therefore, that's the limud that we have to teach. But how do we know them to be Yehuda Ksiv? He said in the Pasik, Lalam them Yehuda, what's the lashon of the Pasik? How do you know we're talking Bnei Yehuda? Tiksiv, Mialuni Batchila, Mialuni Elaknani, Li Lochem, boy, Vyamashem Yehuda Yale. That was Rabbi Yehuda Osad, right? He wrote the Sefer Yehuda Aleph. Anyway, Yehuda Aleph, he's going to be the first one to go up, and therefore he's going to have to know the how to use a keshes. One final shtickle I got it up. V'yorim atabach es hashoik v'he'oleha v'yosel lefnei shoul. The tabach, the shoichit, went and picked up the shoik, that's the thigh of the animal, the he'oleha, and what was on top of the shoik, and he gave it before shoul ha'melech. My ve'oleha, what's the definition? Oleha, three-way machlekes. Just like we had now, a three-way machlekes. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, shoik v'aliya. Ali, of course, is the fatty tail that you have at the end of the animal. We all know the famous Aliya, Barry and Shoik and brother Barry and brother Shai are going to remind us from Rabbi Huda ben Beseira, exactly. Ata ben Etzivan, Umbetzadaska Perus Aliyah Shaloyim. They told them, go and ask for the Aliyah. And then they realized that this was non-Jew, and they did what they did. Anyway, but the point is, Shoik the Aliyah, my ve'oleha, what's ve'oleha, what's the taich ve'oleha, to mismucha shoik li Aliyah, in the anatomy of the animal, and if you have time, after the shear is over, Shelley will be happy to go and tell you about the anatomy of animals, that the shoik, that lower leg portion on the leg, right next to it is the tail, is the Aliyah. So the ve'oleha means in the anatomy of an animal, you have the shoik, and aleha is the Aliyah. So that's Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Luz Oimer, Shoik v'chaze. What's up, Shoik v'chaze? Chaze, of course, is the chest of the animal. My day olea, v'moches lo l'chaze ilavei d'shoik, ki boy anufei umanfilei. As you know, many times in the Torah, we have the inyan of tenufa. In particular, every time by a carbon shlomim, the kehanim get a special portion called the chaze v'shoik. And it says in the pasuk v'heine, if a kohen oisem, you have to do a tenufa. Each time when you do the chaze v'shoik, the chaze is placed on top of the shoik, that's what we mean, the shoik v'he'oleha, what's normally on top of it when we're making a tenufa. So aleha is not referring to the aliyah, it's referring to the chaze at the time of the tenufa. Rishon Nachmeni Omar, shoik v'shoifi. What's the shoifi? Shoifi, says Rashi, is that part of the cartilage or the fat that covers over the shoik. In other words, Rashi calls it tzoymes hagid hamamutze ben kulyas li'arkuva. So this is part of the body in the animal, which covers over where the chaze is, the joint of the chaze, and that the Gemara calls the shoifi. So the shoifi labei, the shoikakoi. If you open up the animal, you'll see, you cut it open, you'll see that on top, of course, after it's dead or after it's geshochten, you'll see on top of the joint of the shoik, you have the shoifi. So that's the oleo that we're referring to. Three-way machlokes, same Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Blaza, and Rabbi Shmuel ben Achmeni as we had before, same Rabbi Shmuel ben Achmeni and Rabbi Blaza that we had at the end of yesterday's Gemara about the singing parais. And with that, Rabbi, so we've concluded the Agadata. Back to our Mishnah, back to Allah. Back in our Mishnah, says, Tisyachad Isha Imohem. Just like Lehavdol, you're not allowed to be mamid, the animal in the pundak, because I'm worried about Lifnei Iver, a goy is going to go and live with the animal. Same thing, be careful, lahavdil with a woman, like tisyachad ish imohem, a woman should not be misyachad with an oivet kachovim, because chas v'sholom, it could come the day aveira. And the obvious question is, when we learn the Mishnah we already asked, the din of yichud doesn't only apply to goyim, it applies to Jews as well. A Jewish woman is not allowed to be misyachad with another man that's not her husband and not her immediate family member. So, freitim of mayaskinon. Ilema bechad. Are we talking about one Gentile? The kavasa gabi Yisrael that we're saying by Yisrael it's mutter, but by a goy, be careful. No. Be careful. Don't be misyachid. Faitimoy gabi Yisrael mishari. Are you allowed to misyachid with one Jew? But to not misyachid ish echad im shtei noshim, not only with one isha, but even two noshim. A Jewish man is not allowed to be misyachid in the same room together with two women if they're having a very important Bikacholim meeting, they're having a very important get-together to discuss Ezra's Noshim, to discuss mikvah matters. One man is not allowed to be together with two women. You would think, well, two women, what could be the problem? Rashi says, HaNoshim Daitan Kalois, and Chas V'Sholem, he might be able to persuade each of the women, Chulila, to do a Dover Osir. So not only is he not a Misyachet with one woman, but even with two women. So what's the Chiddush of our Mishnah that we're saying, that a woman should not be mesiachet with a Gentile. Even with a Yid, she's not allowed to be mesiachet. Even if they're two women, they're not allowed to be mesiachet. So what's the halacha of our Mishnah? Elamai, what are you going to tell me? Top of the Amud Beis. Elamitlosa. We're talking about that a woman should not be mesiachet even with three men together. Logically, the Gemara should go from one to two. Why does it go all of a sudden to three? In other words, why don't we say pshat in the Mishnah is that a woman is not allowed to be mesiachet with two goyim, two Gentiles? And the reason is, it says Rashi, because at times, even by two Yisraelim, two Yidin, she's not allowed to be mesiachet. What do you mean, at times? It depends whether it's Be'ir or Baderach. Let's see the top Rashi that explains it very nicely. The reason why the Gemara chaps on the case of three, meaning that a Jewish woman should not be mesiachet with three Gentiles. Why? To be Israel betlosa, lahachi nokat tlosa, to be Israel betlosa sharu. By Yidin, three is always mutter. A woman is allowed to mesiachet with three men, because each one of the men will be embarrassed from the other person to even think of chas v'sholem trying to live with this woman. Once you have three men or more, nothing to worry about. Each one will look at the other guy and they'll all be afraid, or they'll all be embarrassed to go and even suggest living with this woman. Sai, if you're talking about in a locale in the city. Sai, if they're traveling. What happens if you have two men? Two men l'choy the same swara. Each man would be embarrassed in front of the other man. Oh, trei be'ir en. Then she can be mesiachet with two men be'ir, but derech loy, but not if they're traveling. Why? Maybe one of the two men is going to say, excuse me for a minute, I have to use the facilities. And you know, the facilities in those days, you didn't have bathrooms everywhere. You had to go out into the forest, into the woods, deep in, so that you wouldn't be seen and you couldn't see anybody, they couldn't see you. Just traveling there could take him 5 or 10 minutes just walking to the middle of the forest. He does his thing. By the time he comes back, it's already half an hour. So that's why we don't talk about two, because we cannot say, by Yidin, two is mutter. By Gentiles is aser. Because by two, even by Yidin, it depends on the circumstances. But by Tlos is nothing to worry about, because even if they're traveling with, if they are traveling with three, and one of them has to use the facilities, you still have the other two left behind together with the woman. And we already said two. You don't have to worry about it. Each one will be ashamed to even suggest living with the woman in front of the other man. Ah, so therefore, maybe that's pshat in the Mishnah. A Jewish woman should not be mesiachet with three Gentiles. The kavosa gabi Yisrael. What happens if you're talking about not a regular Yisrael? You're talking about Yisrael prutzim. Unfortunately, not fine taira, idle b'nei toira, yidin that get up early in the morning to go and daven, and after that sit at a shir dafa yoimi for the next hour, or do other learnings, or other mitzvahs and masen toivim. But nebach prutzim, nebach OTD yidin. What do you say about them? Would you say then that that would be permissible? Three. No. Even if it's three. Not even three. Even if it's 10. Even if it's 100. For Tanam and Galen to the Mishnah. Aval Isha Achas Mesiachedis Im Shnei Anoshim. V'yom Rav Yudah Mishmul. Loishonu Ele B'ksherim. Al Be'prutzim Afil Asorin Nami Loi. If you have 10 Shkotzim, Yiddish Shkotzim, Nebuch, OTD Bukhrim or Yingalite or whatever, Be'prutzim Afil, if they have 10. I'm sorry? Yeah, exactly. Yes, exactly. That's a nice English term. But prutzim afil asorin namilai. Maisa hoya, there was a story. Vaitziuha asora b'mita. There was a Jewish woman, and ten prutzim took her out of the city, out to the outskirts, into the fields, into the forest. Why did they do that? Because they were ashamed to do it in the city, because they would be caught, or somebody would take a picture and would go viral, or whatever. So they took her out in a mita, says Rashi, as if they were taking her out to be kover. Same thing we have, the gabi we always learn on Tisha B'Av, right? Was that Barry, was that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? Yeah, also they took out in a mita. Okay, so everybody agrees. So here too, l'havdol, they also took out this woman on a mita, 10 of them. So you see that if you took my prutzim, not only 3, but even 10. Zok Dimor, if that's the case, says Rashi, every goy that we're talking about in our Mishnah. We're not talking about refined, distinguished goyim that have a nice handkerchief in their suit pocket and maybe a golden a pocket watch which has a golden chain. We're not talking about those type of. We're talking about pagans, right? That's the whole. That there are choshed on revia on behemoths. Can you imagine a person lives with a behema? Wow. Oh, so those type of people are all the b'chinas prutzim. If the prutzim, don't tell me in the Mishnah, oh, the Mishnah is talking about three. She shouldn't be mesiachin in three. She can't even mesiachin in 10. She can't be mesiachin in 50. Because they're all prutzim. We all know what happened on October 7th, Rachman al-Islam, Simchas Torah, more than a year ago, what the goyim arurim, prutzim, what they did. So, look to Yomara. So again, what's shot in the Mishnah that the woman is not allowed to be mesiachin in Gentiles? It's talking about that even though the goy, the pagan, has his own wife, the Mrs. Pagan with him, she should not be misyached with that pagan. Why? His wife couldn't care less if he has enjoyment from the other woman. Rashi says that the reason is because she unfortunately also does the same thing. Rashi brings the Loshon HaGemara, Ihu Bekari the Itse Bibutzini. Kari and Butzini are different sizes of gourds. Kari are large gourds, Butzini are kleine gourds. He's busy with his big gourds. In other words, he does three mices in this every day, and she only does one mices, and she only does Butzini, kleine. So says the Gemara, that's why Inishim HaShem Rasei. The husband and wife have a deal between them. Mr. Pagan, you can do whatever you want. The Pagarai, go and live with whoever you want, and the Mrs. Pagan, you can do whatever you want. Say Nishtim Hashem Rasi. Av Yisrael Nishtim Hashem Rasi. If his wife is there, she's never going to allow him Chas V'Shalom to be Mesiachid, to go and live with that other woman. She'll be go. Ah, so that's the Pshat in the Mishnah. But it says in the Mishnah that Loi Tesiachid Ishei Mohem, even in a case where the husband and the man has with him his wife, don't be misyachid, because ain't nishim Hashem rasi. But by Yisrael, that would be permissible. Frank Tumara, I don't understand why the Mishnah even talks about this. Right after that, the Mishnah says, not only on a woman, but kol adam, even on a man. Go back to the Mishnah on Chav Beis Amud Aleph. Tumara doesn't quote it here, but if you go back to the Mishnah on Chav Beis Amud Aleph, right after the tisyachid ishe mon, because of aroyis, now, since every woman is also part of the Adam, we don't mean literally Adam, but we mean part of the human race. So the reason why she can't be Mesiachet, forgetting about our royas, the reason because Shvichas Damen. So that whole line of the Mishnah and the last 10 lines of the Gemara, we can leave out. She shouldn't be Mesiachet with the Gentile because of Shvichas Damen, forgetting about our royas. Uh-huh. Just like a man has to be worried about Shvichas Damim, a woman has to be worried about Shvichas Damim too. In fact, maybe she has to be worried more about Shvichas Damim because she is the she is weaker than the men generally. And being weaker, then she certainly has to worry about Shvichas Damim. Everything more two terutz. Amr b'yemi b'isha chashuva skinan temir sesimina. Rabbi Di Amr isha klei zayna olea. What does that mean? Rabbi Yirmiyah says talking about isha chashuva. Rashi says he chashuva bein ho'anoshim bein hanoshim. Ben ho'anoshim means that she's kroiva lemalchus, that she's an isha chashuva, she's a minister, she's one of the cabinet members, she's a groisa knacker, and if chuli levachas, she's going to be killed, the government's going to go and chase that killer, and metemachin ashim blata, they're going to go and hang him, and they're going to go and show it for the whole world. That's what happens when you kill an isha chashuva. And so therefore, by an isha chashuva, you don't have to worry about shvichas damim. But you do have to worry, weiter, says Rashi, if he's chashuva bein hu anoshim, u bein hanoshim, what's the definition? For those of you that are wondering where I'm reading from, parallel to our Gemara Isha Chashuva, go down one or two lines, Isha Chashuva bein hu anoshim, u bein hanoshim. Now Rashi explains it in reverse order. Bein hanoshim means Isha Yofa. Among the ladies, she's an Isha Chashuva, because all the women are jealous that she is so pretty and she is so attractive. And Beinu Anoshim, she's Krev Lamalchis. And therefore, Mr. Femina, they're afraid to go and kill her. Like Katlila. See, getting back to our Mishnah, that's why I have to have not only the Shvichas Domim case, but also the Yichad Aroyas case. Because our Shvichas Domim case, it only covers a regular woman. But the Isha Chashuva, they would be afraid to do Shvichas Domim. So I would say, okay, so she can be Misyachid. No, don't be mesiachin, because I have the concern of the giloy arroyos. What's them isha chashuva? They're afraid to do shvichasam. They're not afraid to go and live with her, but they're afraid to do the shvichasam. Ravidi Omar, Ravidi says of another pshat, isha klei zayna oleha. What means klei zayna oleha? This is, of course, just a euphemistic term. Isha klei zayna, literally klei zayna means weapons. But we don't mean weapons. We just mean the fact that since she is a woman, the men folk among the shkutzim, among the Gentiles, among these pagans is, they don't want to kill her. They want to keep her alive because they have the desire to live with her again and again, to be oisik in gilui arroyos, today and tomorrow and the next day, maybe even multiple days, times in one day. So then you don't have to worry about shvichas dam. If anything, they're going to go and give her three meals a day so that she'll survive, that she'll be able to, Nochem will be able to live with her. So therefore, says Ravidi, that's not only by Isha Chashuva, every single woman, this halacha applies, that it's not enough to go and say Shvichas Dam. Because by woman, you don't have to worry about Shvichas Dam, because the desire to keep on living with her, that will keep her alive. So therefore I have to give them reason because of Taka Arroyos. My benayu, so what's an afkimini between these two reasons? Ikimenayu isha chashuva bein anoshim, v'sheina chashuva bein hanoshim. She's chashu bein anoshim. Anoshim means, again, like we said in the Rashi, that she's kroiva l'malchis, and therefore we're going to be afraid to go and kill her because she's kroiva l'malchis.
V'sheina
chashuva bein anoshim, since Rashi said before the chashuva is bein anoshim, is isha yofa. Here says Rashi is an isha mechu'eres. So what difference does that make? Okay. Let's look at the Rashi. Ike benayu. You see two lines before the wide lines towards the bottom, three quarters down. Ike benayu. Isha chashuva ben hu anoshim krev lamalchus. Veina chashuva ben hanoshim eina yofe. Okay, so the Rabbi Yirmiyah that said, the muki lo be isha chashuva. The mashma chashuva ben hu anoshim. Uvein hanoshim. That what? She's krev lamalchus. As well as for the katlila, and therefore they're not going to kill her because she's krev lamalchus. Al mishum arroyis ikal amechish, but you do have to worry about erva diofahi. That's what we meant, that she's chashuva bein hanoshim. She's pretty, she's attractive. Hocha, in our case, we said the ikal benayu is isha chashuva bein anoshim, but ain't a chashuva bein hanoshim. Hocha chashuva bein ho anoshim, v'le ben hanoshim, shari lechuda. Here you'd be allowed to be mesiachet according to Birmia. What's the reason why you can miyachid? The mishum shvichas damim leka. You don't have to worry about the shvichas dam. The kroivel amalchis. Or mishum aroyis nami leka. You don't have to worry about aroyis. The muchu eresi. She's unfortunately ugly. So you don't have to worry about shvichas damim, because she's kroivel amalchis. You don't have to worry that they're going to try and be boiler, because nebuch she's muchu eres. However, the Rav Idi asir liyachudei. According to Rabbi Yirmiyah, you'd be mutter liyachid, shor liyachudei. Why? The two reasons not to be miyachid. Al shvichas damim, they're not going to start up with her, she's krev l'malchus. But I have the problem of arroyos. Nobody's interested in her. Nebuch, she's ugly, rachmun l'tzlan. Rabbi Yirmiyah, asir liyachudei, and I'll be miyachid. Why? The kuluch ha'ishin li erva. Every woman, no matter how pretty or how ugly, ha'ishin li erva. The stomach ha'amar. Didn't we say in the Gemara, isha klei zayna alea? We didn't distinguish between an Isha Yofa and Isha Mukhuaris. We said all Noshim Klei Zayin Olam. Leka'amar Hachab Isha Yofa Askinen to Klei Zayin Olam. Every woman, because as we know, there's a famous English expression that beauty is in the high eyes of the beholder. So for one guy, she's not going to be pretty, but another guy is not going to be so mak, but he'll say, no, this is Takad Allah. That's the look. I like that look. Whatever. Anyway, so says Yomar, that's the Nafkimina between the two Pshatim, that according to Reb Yirmiyah, it would be mutter liyached if she's chashuva bein hu anoshim, because they're not going to kill her. There's no shvichas damim because she's krev l'malchus. And don't worry about chas hashom, she's going to live with one of the goyim. Since she's not pretty, ain't a chashuva bein anoshim, therefore you would allow to be mesiached. Mashen ken kund ravidi, no. Even though it's taka, we don't have to worry about shvichas damim because she's chashuva bein anoshim. However, because she's a woman, a woman is a woman, no matter how pretty and now how ugly, isha klei zayin aleha, and therefore you're not allowed to be misyachid with anybody. Tani kavasa Ravida Barama, being a raya from a bris like Ravidi, ho isha ava bisha sholem ima, What means a shasholem ima? Rashi, shasholem ima means that she is naturally weaponed by Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's the lashon kli zayna oleha. Rashi says the reason why I say shasholem ima, normally you have to worry about shloim shel malchus, that the malchus is going to protect you. Isha doesn't have to have protection to live. The fact that Kodesh Baruch Hu created her as an isha, that's her breast protection, that no man is going to kill her. Why won't they kill her? And she should not be misyached with any Gentile. We're not going to kill her because she happens to be Kroiv Lamalchis, Chashuva Bein Anoshim. However, you have to worry about they'll be misyached for Dvar Erva. Okay, it's at the end of the Mishnah, Yisyached Odom Imohem. So we see that you have to be very careful when you're talking about an Akum, don't get too close. And the Braisa tells us further on this topic. Yisrael, she is damen loy ovichom baderech. What happens? A Yisrael and an Akum are traveling together on the road. The Yisrael always has to be concerned about shvichas damen, and therefore toifloy liyaminai. Let him have the ovichachovim to his right. In other words, they're traveling together in two seats in the plane, two seats in the carriage, wherever, or they're walking. Make sure that the Akum is to the right and you're to the left. What's the reason for that? So we'll see in a moment that the Tanakhama holds that as long as the Akim is to your right, if you see that he's going to start up with you, you have your right hand right next to him, that you'll be able to give him a zetz, either a patch, or you'll chop him, you'll push him down, you'll push down his weapons. You want him to be towards your yamin, because that's your source of strength. So therefore, says the Tanakhama, make sure he's next to your right, so if he starts up, take your right hand and
defend yourself.
Oh, Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Shmuel break. It really depends. What is the other person holding as part of his ammunition? If he has a sai, if he has a sword, so now every normal person, when I say normal, I shouldn't say the word normal. Any person who's a righty, he has his sword on the left hand side in the sheath, and he pulls it out from the left, the sheath, and he takes it with his right hand to go and chas v'shalom take someone. So therefore, if that Gentile has a sayif, have him stand or sit next to you on the right-hand side. So if I see that he wants to go and take out the sayif, my hand is right next to the sayif, and I'll be able to go and grab it before he will be able to grab it, because it's right next to me. I have my right hand there. However, if he holds a makel, of course, is a shtekin, he's holding on to a baseball bat or some other whatever, piece of wood, and unfortunately he might attack the Jew, then make sure he's to your left. Why towards your left? Because if he happens to be to your right, and he's holding on, a makel is not the type of thing that you put in your sheath. That's the type of thing that he's holding in his right hand. And if he happens to be to my right, for me to grab his hand, or to grab the makel, means I have to go over the entire body of that.
To reach it.
So that's already a far distance. Yeah. Particularly if he's broad and wide, I might not be able to reach the makel. So rather I have him on my left side, although my right is tak a little bit far removed, but at least I have my left hand right next to his hand with the makel. So with my left hand, I'll try to grab either the makel or his hand to stop him from chas v'shalom attacking. Now that's when they're parallel. What happens if they're either both ascending a mountain or they are descending? They're going upwards. Make sure that the Yisrael is never the one down below and the Oivik Chavim is the one above. Allah, Yisrael Lamali, Yisrael should always be the one higher. So it means, so if they are traveling in an upwards position, the Yisrael is Lamala, the Oivik Chavim is below him. What's the benefit? Because if the Oivik Chavim wants to start up with him, the Yisrael has, if you will, the upper hand, at least on the surface, because he is the upper position, so presumably he can jump down on him, he can throw rocks at him, he can throw whatever at him. So you're in a much better position if you're Lamala and your enemy is Lamata. As well as if they happen to be now going down the hill, who should be? Make sure that the Goy goes first, the Akum goes first, and the Yisrael is the one Lamala going in back of him. Mm-hmm. So if the Oyv Chum wants to start off, number one, he's going to have to turn around, and the Yisrael is right on top of him. We'll be able to go and jump on him and stop him. So therefore, always have the Yisrael Lamala, Oyv Chum Lamata. While Yeshua Chlefanov, what happens if they just happen to be standing around, and the Jew, unfortunately, he dropped a coin, he dropped an item, and he wants to bend down to pick it up. don't bend down in front of that Gentile. Shemiyoritz is called Galte Chasashom. As he's bending down, the other guy is going to go and clap him in Koparan, and Chasashom, he might kill him. Right. Okay, Rachman Litzlan. So, Gemara Baite Shualu Leheichon, Hoileich, Yarchiv Lo Yesad Derech. What happens? They are traveling together, and the Yisrael smells that this Ovid Chavim wants to challenge him or attack him. But the Gentile does not have with him any ammunition, so he figures, I have a good idea. I'm going to ask the Jew, where are you traveling to? Oh, that's where you're going, fine. Have a nice trip, enjoy yourself, blah, blah, blah. And then the Akum is going to come to that very same place, find the Jew, and Chas v'Shalom is going to kill him there. So therefore, Shaul, if he asks him, Lehechan Hoylech, where are you going, my friend? Yarchiv lo yisad derech. He should go and tell him beyond where he's really going. In other words, he should say, in this case, a white lie. He's only really going halfway, but he should tell him he's going the full way further down, because the Akim will go the full distance to that place to try to attack him there.
To ambush him.
To ambush him, and he's not going to reach there. I'll meet you again, Esav and Seir. Uksiv, Yaakov Ina never went to Seir. Uksiv, Yaakov Nosa Sukkois. He stopped Sukkois, which was kind of midpoint, midway. Rashi says in Chumash that eventually we will come to Seir when it comes to the Moisa Mashiach, and then we're going to have the ultimate war. Anyway, so Gemara tells us now a story that Taka happened. Masav Talmid Rebbe Kiva show Yoholchem L'Kziv. The Talmid Rebbe Kiva were traveling to a place called Kziv. Pogam and Listim. And then Listim, unfortunately, started up with them. Now, who were the Listim? Unfortunately, the Listim were Jews. Yiddish Listim. How do I know the Yiddish Listim? The Gemara is going to say that on the Omid Aleph. Rashi has, if you want to take a quick look at the Omid Aleph, you'll see the top Rashi. Look on the second line at the end. L'midas l'ramo yisaynu. Listen Yisrael hayu. The listen over here with Yisrael. This l'chayr should have come on our Omid Aleph, on our Omid Beis, and at the top of Omid Aleph. And in fact, if you look at the Masoris HaShas on listen, and Oyz Dalid, v'zo hascholas adibar v'shayach le'el and chof hey Omid Beis, Kog ben listen. So listen, we're talking about were Yidin. Remember, listen, Yidin, Yiddish, hold up, Nikis.
Oh, yeah,
gangsters. Yeah. So these are Talmid Rebbe Kiva that were going to Ksiv, Kog ben listen. Omulahem, anatam holchem, where are you going? Omulahem, they told him the Akoy. Akko, as you know, is the northernmost part of Eretz Yisrael. It's so... Exactly. So our Choshev, Ramoy Shechaim, was here with me, tells us that Akko, it said in the beginning of Masechta's Gittin, that Akko is Litzofoin, for Akko Kitzofoin, and you remember there's a Toysis over there that says Akko is half Chutz Laaretz, half Eretz Yisrael. When the Talmidim would say goodbye to their friends from Bavel, they would travel to halfway Akko, to say Tzeis from the Sholem, they wouldn't go the full Akka because they didn't want to go into Chutz Laaretz because Tumas Amin, etc. Anyway, so they said, we're going all the way to Akka. But of course, they weren't going to Akka. Kimin Shehigir L'Ksiv, remember they were Holchin L'Ksiv, they stopped, Pirshu, they stopped over there. And the Listim went all the way to Akka, and they're waiting, and they're waiting, and they're waiting, and waiting for days, and weeks, and months, and what's Tzitzav do? Finally they say, the Talmid Rebbe Kiva, they come in to Akka, they're not coming to Akka. So eventually they met up with them in Ksiv or somewhere else. Omelahen, Talmidim Yatam. Hey, Chevra, who are you Talmidim of? Omelahen, Talmidim Rabbi Kiva. Omelahen, Asher Rekiva Talmidav Shlipogaben Odom Rami Oilam. Voil is to Rabbi Kiva. You see how great he is that he taught his Talmidim that to go and tell them the Masa like Yaakov Avina, we're going to Akoi, and they're really only going to Ksiv, so that no harm should befall any of you. Of course, later on we have Rabbi Kiva was, and when the Asori Harugim Malchus, but that's for a different reason, because he was Makil Kehillas Barabim, like we had by Rabbi Chanina Ben Tarjoin, etc. Now we could stop over here, or we could go to the Mishnah. So for those of you that want to go to the Mishnah, we'll just go quickly.
Yes.
After all, you've all eaten breakfast at 4 o'clock this morning, so you don't have to eat breakfast now. Zokti Mar, Rav Menashe HaBa'ozel Bei Tursa. He was going to a place, the name of the place was Bei Tursa. Could be that they had Shvorim there, right? What did it say? Who was Ben Tursa, Barry? Rabbi Yochanan Ben Tursa, Rabbi Yossi, somebody Ben Tursa. Anyway, so what does it say? Pogu Bei Gan.
He was the one who converted when he bought a cow that wouldn't work on Shabbos. Yochanan Ben Tursa.
Exactly. So that maybe he came from the place Tursa, or it could be Tursa has to do with the word Shor,
Maybe there were Megadol Shvarim there, and that's how they got the name Torsa. It doesn't make a difference. Anyway, Rav Menashe was going to Beit Torsa. Pogloi Ganvi. And Ganvi met him. Now these Ganvi, says Rashi, is opposed to the listim that we were talking about that were Yisraelim. These Ganvi were Goyim. So what happens now? Omale, they said, La'an Kazus, where are you going? And Lehem Lepumbedisa. Ikeh Kam Pumbedisa, which is again much further than Beit Torsa. When they got to Beit Torsa, he got off the bus, he got off the train, whatever. He stayed in Beit Torsa, and they continued on to Pumbedisa. And again, they met up with him later on. You're a Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda, and you're a Rami. Apparently, they knew Rabbi Yehuda, and they did not think very highly of him. So they didn't say Rav Yehuda. They said Yehuda, Ramoat. Nobody. He's a Rami. You're a Rami. You're all bad guys. I'm sorry, I said that Ganavim were Goyim. These Ganavim, just like the listim before, were also Yidden, as we'll see shortly. So they said, Talmidei Yehuda Ramoat, Omelahu, and now Rav Menashe, the one that was traveling, the one that they embarrassed, they said, you're Talmud of Rav Yehuda, Omelahu, Yedisalei, you know Rav Yehuda, and you still speak to him in that fashion, in that way, Ye Rava, Yehi Rotzoin, Tlehev Hanoi Inchi Bishamte, all of you Ganavim should have a chayrim on you. A shamta is a lashon chayrim. Should all be excommunicated. Ozlu, so they left. Ovdu genevasa, they continued the geneva for esim v'artin shnin for 22 years. V'lei atzlechu. The shamta, the chayrim, was so successful that they didn't have atzlocha for the next 22 years. Can you imagine? Kim dechazu, osu, when they saw why it took them 22 years to figure this out, I don't know. But when they saw that they're not having any hatzlocha, Asukulu, they all came to be Tavu Shamtayu, to ask Rav Menashe, please remove the Shamta.
Nachu
was up there? Okay, Tavu, Aleph. Tavu de Lishru Shamtayu. Lishru is a lashon to be matir. Please be matir our Shamta after 22 years. V'havu behu chad girdina. That there was one girdina. What's a girdina? Says Rashi, an oreg. Oreg is a weaver. The loy also lishruya shamte. He said, "I'll live with it. I'm not interested. I'm not going to go to Rav Menashe to be matir my shamta, the excommunication, the chayrim on me." So guess what happened to him? Achle Arya, an Ari came and said, "Oh, you don't want to go and ask for a heter for your chayrim?" The Ari went and ate him up. Had the Amri Inchi. That's why there's an expression: Girna deloy taizon. Shota Botzer Mishane. What does that mean? So Rashi explains. Vos made garden le taizon. See the Rashi, fourth and fifth line. On of stam, garden in le boishes panim. Normally a gardener weaver has no busha. However, this one, garden de loy taizon, who has busha, he's an on of stam, guess what happens? Le taizon shota Botzer Mishane. He lost a year from his years. In other words, he should have lived till 120, like everybody's lived to 120. But because he was an onav, and he didn't want to be matir his chayrim, he lost a year from his life because the Ari ate him up prematurely.
It's
a wonderful thing to be an onav, but not when you need to be matir your chayrim. You need to matir your chayrim. You should be first online and say, Rabbi Menashe, I'm terribly sorry for what I did. If I realized what I have done, that I would lose Hatzlach for 22 years, I never would have said what I said, I never would have done what I did. He's at the garden, Ainli Boishas Panim. Normally he doesn't have Boishas Panim. So therefore, normally he's not an Anuf. This one was an Anuf. Okay, whichever way you want to learn. The bottom line is, Ukti Yomara, after we saw these stories, what's the common denominator of all these stories? The story is that when a goy asks you, a pagan that you're afraid of, the Chas V'Shalom might kill you, don't tell him where you're really going to, tell him something much further on, just like we find by Yaakov Avinu, we find by Rabbi Kiva, the Talmid Rabbi Kiva, like we find by Rabbi Menashe. So, Timur, Tochazi, Ben Ganvi, Bava, will listen to Eretz Yisrael. Look at the difference in Madregis between the Ganovim that were in Bava and listen from Eretz Yisrael. Meaning, both of them were listim and Ganovim. Both of them were bad guys. However, when we were talking about the listim in Eretz Yisrael, and they said the Talmid Rabbi Kiva, Zokt Rashi, Shempog with Talmid Rabbi Kiva, Sirpa Bishvachai, they said, Ashrei Rabbi Kiva, the Talmid of Baruch Hashem, nobody was Pagia. However, a listim is considered to be worse than a ganav. Remember, a ganav is not a gazlon. A ganav is a burglar who does it in the middle of the night when nobody knows. When it's dark, nobody should see him. While a listin is a listin mezuyan, in the middle of the day, he's going and stealing it.
Hold up,
Nika. The idea of Hashvacha Shal Eretz Yisrael, that the listin in Eretz Yisrael, who spoke nicely about Rabbi Kiva, and look at these Ganvi and Bavel, that spoke so poorly about Rabbi Yehuda, they called him Rabbi Yehuda Ramah. With this, we'll stop over here. Rabbi Yisrael, tomorrow, we're going to continue the next Mishnah.